Okay, so we'll continue at the bottom of page 8. Volume 16, 10, 16, 23. My daughter Louisa, in order for my divine will to descend upon earth, it is necessary that your human will raise up to heaven. Okay, so this is important for us. A lot of people think that they're living in the divine will. As a matter of fact, a couple weeks ago when somebody said that, I said, well, nobody's living in the divine will fully. The divine will, the first one who lived fully in the divine will be the Holy Father, because you need a man and a woman. It's Adam and Eve, Jesus and Mary, it's Louisa and the Pope. He has the keys to the kingdom. And in volume 15, Jesus says, I give you, my daughter, this gift so that you will give it back to the man. Adam was the king. The Pope has the keys to the kingdom. He's the king. Adam was a priest. The Pope is the first priest of the church. Adam was a father. The Pope is the Holy Father. So Jesus comes as Christ the King. Jesus comes as the Father of the age to come. Jesus Christ comes as the High Priest. So you need a man and a woman. So the very first one who will live fully in the divine will is the Holy Father. We are the ones to get him ready by getting ourselves ready. So as soon as he receives it, we will receive it. Okay? So what does that mean? That means you have to... Who keeps on talking? I'm going to slap you. Okay. So you have to have your human will raise up to heaven. In order to raise up to heaven and to live in the celestial fatherland, it is necessary to empty all that is of it is human, all that is not holy, all that is not pure, all that is not upright. Nothing can enter into heaven to live a communal life with us, triune God, if it is not been completely divinized and transformed into us. Now, if you say you're living in the divine will, you're saying that you've been divinized and transformed into God. Don't think that's happened. You know, so we want this gift, but we're not living in it. We as soon as we're worried, we're out of it. As soon as we're fearful, we're out of it. As soon as we're complaining, we're out of it. As soon as we're negative, we're out of it. As soon as we sin, we're out of the divine will. And you have to come back into it. So you say to the Lord, I'm sorry. So we're in and out of the divine will all our life until Jesus says, I see the souls that want to live this life and will not give it up. Okay? So, nothing can enter into heaven to live a communal life with triune God if it has not been completely divinized and transformed into God. Nor can my divine will descend upon earth to carry out its life as within our own center if it does not find the human will emptied of everything, in order to fill it with all the goods which my divine will contains. It will be nothing other than a most thin veil which will serve me to cover myself and to dwell within it, almost like a consecrated host, in which I, God, form my life, and I do all the good I, God, want. I pray, I suffer, I enjoy. And the host does not oppose. The host leaves me free. Its office is to be there to keep me hidden in mute silence, to comply, to preserve my sacramental life. This is the point we are at. Your human will, listen to this, is great, is about to enter heaven. And mine, my holy divine will, is about to descend upon earth. Therefore, your human will must have life no longer. It must have no reason to exist. So again, this is what our God is asking us to be linked to Louisa. As he did this with Louisa, he will do it with us. If we, as he says, get rid of all that is not holy, all that is not pure, all that is not upright, to be completely divinized and transformed into God. So God, this is what God is waiting for. So he needs us to understand that what he is going to bring about, Jesus lived, Mary lived, Adam had before the fall, and now he wants to bring us back to where Adam was before the fall. And so this is a life that the saints did not see. This is why Father Bucci said, Louisa is unique. You cannot compare the mysticism of Louisa with any other mysticism of any other saint. It doesn't work. What Jesus has done with Louisa is unique in all the history of the world. This is a human born of original sin. It's not the Blessed Mother. The Blessed Lady was the Immaculate Conception. She had no sin in her. Louisa was born of original sin. And now God wants to touch each and every one of us with this gift that He has breathed into Louisa. So He says, your human will must have life no longer, it must have no reason to exist. So He says, this is what happened to my holy humanity, which, though having a human will, was all intent on giving life to the divine will. The human will never decided by itself, not even to breathe, but it took and gave also its breath in the divine will, and so the eternal reigned in my holy humanity on earth as it does in heaven. It lived its terrestrial life in it, and my human will, fully sacrificed to the divine will, impetrated that at the appropriate time it would descend upon earth to live in the midst of creatures, just as it lives in heaven. Don't you want to give my divine will the first place on earth? So this is a question for us. Don't you want to give my divine will the first place on earth? See, we are the first children living in the divine will. Okay? The reason we're the first, even though it's, you know, many, many years later, is there's no time or space. So we are really the first that are saying yes to this divine will. Saint Honorable de Francia did not read 20 through 36. We're reading 20 through 36. And he was the first to die living in the divine will. So now God wants to give us more than he gave to the saints. He wants us to begin to live this life, one with Louisa, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, to multiply ourselves in all the acts that we do, in order to, as Jesus says, become consecrated hosts, to give to Jesus his own life. So again, what Jesus is saying to us is, don't you want to give my divine will the first place on earth? Louisa's the first. We're the first children of the divine will. Our job is to let God have his way with us. Now, while Jesus was saying this, I seemed to find myself in heaven as though from one single point. Okay, here's the bilocation that God is going to also give to us. I could see all human generations prostrating myself before the Supreme Majesty. I took the reciprocal love of the divine persons, their perfect adoration and ever unique sanctity of their will, and I offered them in the name of all as the return of love, adoration, submission, and union, which every creature should give to her God. And therefore, I wanted to unite heaven and earth, creator with a creature, that they might embrace and exchange the supreme kiss of the union of their wills. And then my Jesus added, Louisa, this is your task, and this is our task as well with Louisa, to live in our midst, to make all that is ours your own, giving it to us on behalf of your brothers and sisters, so that drawn by what is ours, we may be bound to the human generations and give them the supreme kiss of the union of their wills to ours, which we gave to Adam in the beginning of creation. So again, this is our job. This is our task, to live in the midst of God, to make all that is God's our own, giving the divine will to God on behalf of all our brothers and sisters, past, present, and future, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that drawn by what is God's, we, the God, may be bound to the human generations. God may give the human generations the supreme kiss of the union of their wills, the human will, to God's holy divine will, which God originally gave to Adam. So this is very important. This should have been highlighted, I think, so that we know what our task is. And if we read this every day, read what our task is, it's going to humble us, number one, because who are we? We're nothing. Yet, number two, it's going to say God wants more from us. God wants more from us. And he wants to teach us. How does he teach us? By reading the volumes. Volume 16, 11, 5, 23. Now, while I was pouring out my pain with Jesus made himself seen in my interior The sacramental veils formed like a mirror in which Jesus was, alive and real. And what my sweet Jesus told me, my daughter Louisa, this mirror is the accident of bread which keeps me imprisoned within them. I form my life of the host, but it does not give me anything. The host does not give me one affection. The host does not give me one heartbeat. Not the tiniest I love you from the host. It is as if dead for me. I, God, remain alone, without the shadow of anything in return. Therefore, my love is almost impatient to get out, to break this glass descending into the hearts, in order to find in them that return which the host doesn't know how to give me, nor can it do so. So, like when we offer the Blessed Sacrament, we should be falling in love with God. I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you. We should be falling in love with God. This is what he wants to break out of that glass, he says, and to descend in our hearts. Why? So that he can receive the return of the I love you. So when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, we say in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, everyone says to you, Lord, I love you with my voice. And then God hears 21 billion souls saying, I love you. Those that have lived, those that are living, those that are yet to live. I think it's much more than that, but we'll just keep it at 21. So we're giving back to God an explosion of I love yous. But do you know where I find my true return? In Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa, who live in my divine will. As soon as I descend into Louisa's heart, I consume the accidents of the host, because I, God, know that more noble accidents, more dear to me, are ready to imprison me in order to keep me inside that heart, which shall not only give me life itself, but life for life. I will no longer be alone and with my most faithful company, Louisa, and the souls linked to Louisa. We will be two hearts palpitating together. We shall love united. Our desires shall be one. So I remain in Louisa, and I live my life there, alive and real, just as I do in the Most Holy Sacrament. See, that's what's going to happen to us. God will live his life in me, alive and real, just like he does in the Holy Sacrament. But do you know what these accidents are, in which I find in the soul who does my divine will? These are her acts done in my holy divine will, which more than accidents extend themselves around me. They imprison me, but inside a noble divine prison, not a dark one, because Louisa's acts done in my divine will illuminate and warm more than sun. And oh, how happy I, God, feel to live my real life in Louisa. I feel as if I were inside my celestial royal palace. Look at me in your heart. Oh, how happy I am. How I, God, delight and feel the purest joys in Louisa. See, it's a whole new beginning for mankind when we're linked to Louisa. It's a whole new beginning. And our God is offering this to us, what he gave to Louisa. And all that he asks of us to do is say fiat. And then he says, I'll fill you with my divinity as much as you want. And so what we want to do is we want to hang on to Louisa and dive into the ocean of the divine will and drown in that ocean of love. We want to be filled inside and out with this great gift of the divine will. And Louisa says, my beloved Jesus, isn't this a new and special thing that you are telling me, that you live your real life in one who lives in your divine will? Isn't this rather the mystical life which you live in the hearts that possess your grace? Now, this is important. Jesus says, no, it is not a mystical life. Okay, so this is a real life. So, again, when you receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, you receive Jesus, the real life of Jesus, in a mystical way. Okay? When the host is dissolved, that real life of Jesus in a mystical way is gone. The host is dissolved. It's not there. That's why the 15 minutes after Holy Mass are the most important moments of your day, where you are with Jesus in a real way, and anything that you pray for, God will give you. Anything and everything. But he says, how much more I will give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So he shows us what we should be praying for, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What is this outpouring of the Holy Spirit? It's the spirit of Louisa Picaretta. This is what the charismatics do not know. This is what the Pentecostals do not know. This gift that God is going to give to the world is the spirit that God breathed into Luisa Picaretta. It's going to transform the face of the earth. This is the second Pentecost. How glorious this is going to be. And Jesus says, no, it is not a mystical life, as for it is for those who possess my grace, but do not live with their acts identified in my holy divine will. Therefore, do not have sufficient material to form the accidents and imprison me. It would be as if the priest lacked the host and still wanted to pronounce the words of consecration. He could pronounce them. He could say them to the empty space, and my sacramental life would not have existence. In the same way, I, God, find myself in the hearts which might possess my grace, but do not live completely in my divine will, and I am in them by grace, but not in reality. So that's a mystical way. So here, Jesus said to Luisa, I remember he said once, when Luisa couldn't go to Holy Communion, she says, Jesus, I won't be able to be with you. You won't be able to be with me. And he said, what's more important, to be with me in the mystical way or to be with me in the real way? What's more important? The real way is living in the divine will. It won't end. It's a perennial communion. As Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening, this is a real life that will not end. Unless you are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, or negative, or sinning, then God leaves. But you can have a perennial communion with God as long as you live in the divine will. But as soon as you worry, he's gone. See, Jesus has given us the Holy Eucharist to prepare us for this perennial communion where we will walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening, as Adam did. This is glorious. This is really glorious. We will never be separated from God ever in the divine will. And it's the real presence of Jesus in a real way. Now, this is what the church is focusing on. And I would love to be listening to theologians debating, because they have to come to the conclusion this perennial communion is greater than the communion we receive in a mystical way. How can God be greater than God? Well, it's eternal. It's everlasting, where when the host dissolves, it's over. Do you see how great our God is? He's going to bring this about. And I, my love, how is it possible that you can really live in the soul who lives in your divine will? And Jesus, my daughter, don't I perhaps live in the sacramental host, alive and real, in body, blood, soul, and divinity? And why do I live in the host, in body, blood, soul, and the divinity? Because there is not a will which is opposed to mine. If I found in the host a will opposed to mine, I would not form either a real or perennial life in it. This is also the reason for which the sacramental accidents are consumed when the creature receives me. I do not find a human will united with mine disposed to give itself in order to acquire my divine will. Rather, I find a human will which wants to act and to do by itself, and so therefore I make my little visit and then I leave. On the other hand, for Luisa and the souls linked to Luisa, the one who lives in my divine will, my volition and hers are one. And if I do this in the host, how much more can I do it in Luisa? More so, since I find a heartbeat and affection and my reward and interest and all that I do not find in the host. My real life is necessary to the soul who lives in my divine will. Otherwise, how could Luisa live in my volition? So here, he says, I can't find this in the host, but I can find it in Luisa. And then this is important. And you don't want to understand. I underline that because this is where we are. We don't want to understand this. We don't want to embrace this. We don't want to read this over and over again so that we know what this is. That the sanctity of living in my divine will is a sanctity completely different from all other sanctities of the saints, except for the crosses, the mortifications, the necessary acts of life, which done under my divine will embellish even her even more, and is nothing other than the life of the blessed in heaven, who, living in my divine will, by virtue of the divine will, possess me within each one of them, as if I, God, were only for each one, alive and real, and not mystically, but really dwelling in them. So he says, don't you want to understand this? That I'm really dwelling in them in heaven. Not in a mystical way, but in a real way. Do you see what God is bringing about? The Eucharistic reign of Jesus is not us kneeling in front of the Blessed Sacrament, which we think. Well, every church will have the Blessed Sacrament. We'll all be there. We'll have people praying, you know, at certain hours of the day. And no, that's not what Jesus is talking about. The Eucharistic reign of Jesus is Jesus reigning in us in a real way where we become living hosts in every thought, every word, every deed that we do in the divine will. Because it's Jesus. We become the skin of Jesus. We become the clothing of Jesus. So that he reigns in us in a real way, dwelling within them. Just as this could not be called life of heaven if they did not have me within them as their own life, and their happiness could not be perfect and complete, even a tiny particle of my life were missing in them, in the same way, my divine will would neither be full or perfect in the one who lives in my divine volition if my real life, not in a mystical way, which is this the divine will admits, we're missing. Do you see what God is bringing about? My goodness, this is astonishing. How much our God loves us. That he wants to reign in us in a real way. So he gazes in our gazing. He hears in our hearing. He swallows in our swallowing. He steps in our stepping. He dances in our dancing. He swims in our swimming. God is alive. In a real way, it is Jesus whose heart is beating in our heart. It is Jesus who is breathing in our breathing. What the Lord has planned, the saints only could dream of. It wasn't for them because they did not have Louisa. We have Louisa. How glorious is this? It is true that these are all prodigies of my love. In fact, this is the prodigy of prodigies. Which my divine will has kept within itself until now, which it now wants to deliver in order to achieve the primary purpose of the creation of Adam. Therefore, I, God, want to form my first real life within you, Louisa. I mean, this is heaven on earth. And now God wants to do this. He wants to form his first real life within the first children of the divine will linked to Louisa. See, don't limit God. Don't limit him. Let him have his way. Jesus, do what you want with me. Do what you will with me. Let it be done as you say. Total surrender, total docility, total submission. Let God have his way with you. And then what happens is you begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. And it's not of earth. It's peace of heaven, joy of heaven, happiness of heaven. This is what the divine will is all about. This is why there's no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, because what is coming is astonishing. It's heaven on earth. It's the real presence of Jesus within us, not as the saints received it in a mystical way, but a real way in us. I mean, this is unbelievable. And hearing this, I said, oh, my love, Jesus, yet I feel so bad for all these contrasts, and you know it. It is true that this serves me to abandon myself more into your arms and to ask from you what they do not give me. But with all this, I feel the breath of your disturbance and troubles of the peace of my soul, and you are telling me that you want to form your real life in me. Oh, how far I am from this. And it's true. We're very far from this. Yet Jesus says this to her and to us. And Jesus, again, daughter Louisa and those linked to Louisa, do not worry about this. All that I, God, want is that you add nothing of your own and that you obey as much as you can. Give your fiat to everything that I say. That's all he's saying. Don't worry. All I want you to do is add nothing of your own. Don't put any human in this. But only give your fiat as much as you can, as often as you can. It is known that all other sanctities, that is, those of obedience and other virtues, are not exempt from pettiness, disturbance, arguments, and waste of time, and prevent the forming of the beautiful sun. At the most, they form a little star. only the sanctity of my divine will is exempt from all these miseries. Furthermore, my divine will encloses all the sacraments and their effects. Therefore, abandon yourself completely, my divine will. Make the divine will yours, and you shall receive the effects of the absolution or of anything else that you might be denied. So here, it's totality of God, as much as you want. This is what the Lord is looking for, how much he wants to fill us. So I recommend to you that you not waste any time. You waste time by not reading the volumes. That's wasting time. Since by wasting time you hamper my real life, which I, God, am forming in you. And it's the same thing for us. If we're not focused on this gift of the divine will, and this is why the rounds are so important. The rounds are basically $12, $10 for the book, $2 for shipping, and don't give me a dime because it's going in my pocket and I will never know where it came from. And then I'm buying cigarettes and booze, you know, and all that stuff. No. So what, the money will go to Frank Coda and Marianne Coda. They will take care of it all. So don't send me anything because I lose things all the time. So, but well, whoever sent me something before, I have your name. Don't worry. I gave it to the Codas. So as you read the volume, as you read the rounds, I'm telling you, you're in heaven on earth. As this echoes in your brain, your life is going to be filled with such peace, joy, and happiness. Why? Because you're praying the prayers that Adam prayed. You're praying the prayers that Jesus prayed. You're praying the prayers that Mary prayed. You're praying the prayers that Louisa prayed. The only ones who ever lived fully in the divine will. And Adam lost it. So here is, this is the gift of gifts. It really, Jesus says that. Don't waste any time. Wasting time, you hamper my real life, which I, God, am forming in you. See, this is what God is doing. This is why we're here. This is why we're alive. He has such plans for us that we cannot believe what he's going to do. He's just so happy.